This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Well, you might guess, I feel it's a great privilege, wonderful blessing to be able to be with you this morning. When I was a kid, going to Sunday school, my mom would often, just before we got to church, take out a Kleenex, put it up to her lips, get a little moisture on it, and then wipe off whatever was left over from breakfast. Now I have a wife to do that. But essentially, that's what I want to do this morning with our graduates. I can't really add much to what you have already gotten, but I'd like to round out your education with just a brief but very crucial lesson on agriculture. If it were up to me, you would all have to take at least one course in agriculture to complement your degree in Bible and theology, because that's where we learn about fruitfulness. And that's the goal of ministry, fruitfulness. Just a year ago, next week, that my wife and I moved back to Columbia from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where we had been for 12 years. It is the most beautiful farm country in all of the world. After we had lived here in Columbia for 13 years and then in Houston, Texas for 12 years, we really had to get used to living in Pennsylvania Dutch country. Our church had several thousand people, among them many farmers. And farmers were different. The saying was, you can always tell a farmer, you just can't tell them much. The first part of the saying was really true. You could always tell a farmer. All you had to do was shake hands with them, and their big hands literally engulfed my hand. Huge, strong hands, broad fingers forged from working on machinery and lifting and pulling and twisting and offering cows the warm hand of fellowship at 4 o'clock on freezing mornings. But it wasn't only their physiques that were different. It was their psyches. Farmers are patient, unrushed. Life is long-term. It's not instant. You knew they were with you for the long haul. So no wonder Scripture is full of farming illustrations. The Lord Jesus used them to teach very crucial lessons. The four soils, the wheat and the tares, the mustard seed. Without understanding agriculture, we totally miss the Lord's meaning. But the Apostle Paul would actually turn us into farmers. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, he focuses on that. And it's one of three illustrations that he uses of the fruitful Christian life in his graduation message to Timothy. Of course, it's not Timothy that's graduating, it's Paul facing execution. When he gets to the end of that triad, he says, now meditate on these things. Just a precursory reading, a quiet time, isn't going to drive this lesson home. The context of this reference to farming begins in 2 Timothy 2, 3, where Paul says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Ministry is hard. And the reference to that farmer launches him on this triad of illustrations. I mean, the reference to the soldier. And he focuses again on the soldier. And he says the life of the soldier is an illustration of Christ-like service. He says no soldier in active duty entangles himself in the affairs of this world so that he can please the one who has enlisted him as a soldier. A soldier is unentangled in the affairs of this world. He is free to go where God wants him. He is free to do what God commands him. And then that makes him think of the athlete. And he says, no athlete is crowned unless he plays by the rules. He has to honor the rules. And the specific rule that he's probably referring to is the rule of disciplined preparation. Because the goal was not to be the best. The goal was to do your best. Then at the end of that triad, he says, now meditate on these things. It's essential to understanding. A quick, quiet time is not going to open up these illustrations. It's the third illustration that I personally found most intriguing and hardest to understand. So I literally meditated on this passage for months. And it unfolded one Saturday afternoon when I was in Iowa surrounded by October's cornfields and playing with my 18-month-old son. You never know when the Lord's going to teach you. And it was this description of the farmer that became important. About the farmer, Paul says, the hard-working farmer ought to be the first to eat his share of the crops. In fact, in the Greek text, he says, it is necessary for the hard-working farmer to be the first to eat the share of the crops. Hard-working. What is the distinctiveness of farmers? Well, the strong, patient farmers of Lancaster County were not the exception. They are the rule. They are unflappable. They are steady. They are unexcitable. They are dependable. They are strong. They are enduring. In some ways, farming puts soldiering to shame. It's evidenced in this letter from a farmer home from the Marine Corps. Dear Mom and Pop, I'm well. Hope you are. Tell Brother Walt and Brother Elmer the Marine Corps beats working for old man Minch by a mile. Tell them to join up quick before all of the places are filled. I was restless at first because you have to stay in bed till nearly 6 a.m. But I'm getting so I like to sleep late. Tell Walt and Elmer all you do before breakfast to smooth your cot and shine some things. No hogs to slop, feed to pitch, mash to mix, wood to split, fire to lay, practically nothing. Men got a shave, but it's not so bad. There's warm water. Breakfast is strong on trimmings like fruit juice, cereal, eggs, bacon, etc., but kind of weak on chops, potatoes, ham steak, fried eggplant, pie, and other regular food. But tell Walt and Elmer you can always sit by the two city boys that live on coffee. Their food plus yours holds you until noon when you get fed again. It's no wonder these city boys can't walk much. We go on route marches, which the platoon sergeant says are long walks to harden us. If he thinks so, it's not my place to tell him different. A route march is about as far as to our mailbox at home. Then the city guys get sore feet and we all ride back in trucks. The sergeant's like a school teacher. He nags a lot. Captains like the school board. Majors and colonels just ride around and frown. They don't bother you none. This next will kill Walt and Elmer with laughing. I keep getting medals for shooting. I don't know why. The bullseye is near as big as a chipmunk head and don't move. And it ain't shooting at you like the Higgett boys at home. All you got to do is lie there all comfortable and hit it. You don't even load your own cartridges. They come in boxes. Then we have what they call hand-to-hand combat training. You get to wrestle with them city boys. I have to be real careful, though. They break easy. It ain't like fighting with that old bull at home. I'm about the best they got in this, except for that Tug Jordan from over in Silver Lake. I only beat him once. He joined up the same time as me, but I'm only 5'6 and 130, and he's 6'8 and near 300 pounds dry. Be sure to tell Walt and Elmer to hurry and join before the other fellers get onto this setup and come stampeding in. Your loving daughter, Alice. Farming is hard work. hard work. And the demand for hard work has to go along with the endurance of faith. Despite all of the hard work, you have absolutely no control over the results. You can turn the rain on and you can't turn the rain off. The sun can warm and germinate, and it can fry and kill. Bugs multiply as fast as a calculator. And if any or all of those things discourage you, then three or four times a year you're going to be selling out and packing up and going west. But if we leave when it's hard and discouraging and apparently fruitless, we will never meet the goal to eat the fruit. That's the goal of the farmer, to eat the fruit. And in order to do that, he has to meet at least one requirement, and that is to endure, to stay by the stuff. Drought or floods, freezing or frying, market soaring, market collapsing. You know, it sounds a little bit like wedding vows, for better or worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health, till death do we part. I have heard farm wives say, we're married to the farm. And of course, the temptation is to seek a faster way. It makes me think of Satan's temptation to Jesus when he put him on the pinnacle of the temple and he said, jump, jump now. You can avoid the cross, you can avoid the suffering, you'll come floating down like Mary Poppins on clouds, only without an umbrella. And the people will see you and they will be in awe and they'll recognize you're the Messiah. Do it now. Avoid the cross. In contrast, absolutely nobody applauds the farmer. He's up before dawn. He grinds through summer heat. He is married to mundaneness. In contrast to the athlete, he never has a crowd standing around the barn at 4 a.m. saying, what a hero! No crowd welcomes him home at night to thank him for investing all day long in dirt. He just keeps going. And Paul says, for those who stay by the stuff, who stick out the mundaneness, there is this reward. And the reward is you get to eat the share of the crops first. Fruitfulness. Eating the results of all of that hard work. I encourage you to meditate on this passage at length. But the application from agriculture to ministry is pretty obvious. First of all, ministry is hard work. It is harder than most people can imagine. And secondly, the results are totally beyond our control, and at times, very discouraging. But thirdly, only those who continue to labor through the hard times will be around to gather the fruit at the harvest. There is a distinct relationship between tenure and fruitfulness. My statistics may be dated, but here is what I learned in studying the tenures of pastors and missionaries over a number of years. First of all, for pastors, the most fruitful years begin around year 6 and go through year 10. And the majority of pastors never even serve 5 years in one church. And for missionaries, fruitfulness really begins around the 3rd term and grows from there. And most missionaries never get out of the 1st or 2nd term. Our own Warren and Carol Larson, wonderful illustration of that. They served in Pakistan, a very hard country. And for the 2 terms, they had virtually no fruit at all. I would have been discouraged and said, obviously, the Lord hasn't called me to this. But they went back for a 3rd term, and in that 3rd term, they saw well over 100 come to faith and churches planted. Finally, the government recognized what was going on and kicked them out. everything around us today conspires to make us less patient, less enduring. But we just can't rush the growing season. As Paul says, meditate on these things. May the Lord give you wisdom, and may the Lord make you fruitful. God bless you, one and all.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.